And this is something really amazing what happened. The Fiji head of opposition was with us. And he declared that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And that when he would come back to politics, he would move the embassy.
The Jerusalem prayer breakfast is not just in Jerusalem. So how did it come about? And how has the relationship between Israel and evangelical Christians around the world grown over the years? Israel needs the prayers and support of Christians around the world like never before as they face many challenges. Hi, and welcome to this episode of Inside the Epicenter with Joel Rosenberg, a podcast of the Joshua Fund, a ministry dedicated to blessing Israel and her neighbors in the name of Jesus. I'm Carl Muller, Executive Director of the Joshua Fund. And today we present a very special discussion between Albert Wechsler and Tatiana Mazarsky, a member of the Knesset in Israel, as they talk about the relationship between Israel and evangelical Christians and the various developments in Israel and its effect on the life of Israelis day to day. Let's listen in on their conversation.
Now, we started taking different Israeli delegations, Knesset delegations, to different events like National Prayer Breakfast. And 2009, we started working with for the first time. And then it really is something that is quite interesting. In the Knesset, there is interest towards the evangelical world. There is a genuine interest to establish connections, friendships. Like Matan said, they view it as a strategic, good relationship. We all understand that actually Israel doesn't have many other friends than Bible-believing friends all over the world. So this is our situation. So we need to somehow reach out to them. So I'm very happy that a good friend of ours, the Knesset member Tatiana Mazarsky, has come. Awesome. So really, really happy. Really happy. Todalach Sheba. Ken. So Tatiana Mazarsky has also been a very good friend for many, many years. Actually, our story starts even earlier when my parents made Aliyah early in 2001. Tatiana was a young student and she was helping them to get established in Israel, signing the contracts with the electric company and the city and whatnot. So we've been knowing each other for many, many years, and I'm really, really happy that Tatiana is in the Knesset, and she's been supporting Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast, and she's with us today. So in 2016, well, Robert Ilatov, who is not here, who is the co-chair of the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast, was then appointed by the Speaker of the House to become the chairman of the Christian Allies Caucus, meaning he became responsible for all the relations with the Christian world. And so he comes to me. I was doing my PhD interviews here with the Knesset members. And so he asks for my help. He said, Albert, can you help me? I said, how can I help you? He says, look, we need to build another alliance of the Friends of Israel. I said, why? There are so many. There is the Christian Embassy of Jerusalem. There is the Bridges for Peace. There is the Christian Friends of Israel for Israel. I mean, there's many organizations. He says, no, we need to do something bigger. And at that moment, without thinking, I said, well, then we need a prayer breakfast. Because Robert had been with us at the Canadian National Prayer Breakfast. And so he says, are you crazy? I mean, this is the Jewish state. You don't expect us to pray to Jesus, do you? And I'm like, look, Robert, we can actually find something that the Jews and Christians can agree about. He says, you're out of your mind. Forget it. Think of something better. But this is a non-starter. So 2 weeks later, I'm back in the Knesset, and he says, Albert, come to my office. Sit down. So I sat down. He says, you know what? I went to the president, and I spoke with Reuven Rivlin. And you know what? He loved the idea. And he will host us. And he will receive us in his residence, and he will support us as long as he's in the office. So are you going to help me now? And at this moment, you know, you realize that you have, kind of predicted your own work description, so you better do it. So I said, okay, I will do so. And then it was nothing less than a miracle that we were able to gather 570 VIPs from 58 nations in a very short time. And it happened on the 50th anniversary of the Jerusalem's reunification in June 6 and 7, 2017. And as the president promised, he received us at his official residence with open arms. He said, I've been longing for your prayers for the peace of Jerusalem. So this was an amazing start. But we didn't realize at that moment that this will take us all over the world. So in 2017, we had our first prayer breakfast. Michelle Bachmann, she was our keynote speaker, but instead of speaking, she prayed for half an hour. And some people started to feel a little uncomfortable because that was kind of a long prayer. But it was something very miraculous that happened after that prayer, because we had people coming from all over the world inviting us, inviting the Jerusalem prayer breakfast to their cities. The first one was London. They invited us. We had six lords and ladies. We had three MPs and Israeli ambassador. We had a beautiful hall in London. And people were amazed. How can Jews and Christians actually come together and pray together? Was it even possible? Then we started proving that it is possible, that the president of Ghana invited us to come. Then the first lady of Uganda invited us to come. Then we were invited to Holland. The member of parliament from Dutch parliament invites us to the place where only the king speaks to the nation, the Ridderzaal, and we are there. And on that particular time, the Jewish community is there, the Christian community is there, we're praying together, we're quoting the scriptures. And there's our organizer, Jack van der Tang from Holland, reads the scripture. My people is robbed, and no one says, give back. And his voice broke in tears. He says, give back. Now, the Dutch government had made a decision to pay reparations to the Holocaust survivors, but they were delaying the implementing of it. And so, you know, Dutch were very efficient in killing the Jews. The Jewish people had to even pay their own train ticket to the death camp. So the Netherlands Railway, 100% owned by the government, was supposed to pay the reparations, but they didn't want to. On that very day, in June 2019, when we were in the Ridderzaal, in the hall, where the king only speaks to the nation, and we quote the scriptures, and the Jewish rabbis and the Christian pastors are together and praying, the miracle happened. So Eppo Branch, the parliament member who invited us to the parliament, comes running, you know, shouting to the dinner, shouting, do you know what happened? I said, I don't know what happened. Do you know what happened? I said, if you don't tell us what happened, we will never know what happened. Says the government released the money. Tens of millions of euros of reparations that were held back for so many years were suddenly released. You say this is an accident, this is a coincidence. Well, I love these kind of coincidences. We've had so many of them. I will not take the time to tell you all the stories, but we just came back from Australia. Tatiana was with us in Australia, in Gold Coast. And, I mean, you say, what's good happening in Australia? They just said that they are not recognizing Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem as Israel's capital, the new government that came to power last year. We were invited by the mayor of the city called Gold Coast. This was our second time in Australia. We had a prayer breakfast in Canberra, in the capital, in 2020. And this is something really amazing what happened. The Fiji head of opposition, Sitiveni Rabuka, was with us. And nobody thought from Fiji Islands that he would ever come back to the politics. He used to be the prime minister. But he stood on the stage. It was the old parliament building of Australia in Canberra. And he declared that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel and that Australia should recognize so. Fiji, excuse me, and Australia, of course, we were there. And then he said that when he would come back to politics, he would move the embassy. Nobody thought it would ever happen, except, I think, God Almighty. Because last December, he not only won the elections, he became the prime minister again. And now he sent his deputy prime minister to the Jerusalem prayer breakfast in Gold Coast. And the deputy prime minister comes and says, you know, one of our first cabinet decisions was about opening the embassy in Jerusalem. And I'm going to charter a plane, an airplane. They're chartering an airplane from Fiji to come to the Feast of Tabernacles this fall. Can you imagine this thing? And then I was asking, you know, him, so where shall we have the next Jerusalem prayer breakfast? He says, Fiji, of course. Now we'll see whether they will be able to bring it together. It's quite a lot of work to do, but we've been now, yes, in 19 different cities, 19 cities all over the world. Tatiana, you were with us in Houston, in Dallas, and now in Gold Coast. Matan was with us in St. Louis, was in April, last April. He was with us in Dallas also. Matan has been the host of the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast here in the Knesset, as well as Tatiana. And it's a huge thing. I mean, you've been, Joel, one of our great speakers here at the Knesset. I think you spoke here in Jerusalem Hall, and then you spoke also at Waldorf Astoria. And we've seen that whenever the Jews and Christians are able to come together, work together, history is made. So this is my short story, and I think it would be a good time now for asking Tatiana to come and share a few words about what is happening in Israel.
Again.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Our verse of the day today is found in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 to 18. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In our prayer requests today are, number one, pray that the hold of religion over Israel is broken and that they come to Christ Jesus in numbers. And secondly, to pray for Israeli leaders that they continue to make godly decisions that favor the growth of Israel economically and spiritually while keeping her militarily strong.
First of all, welcome and welcome to the Knesset of Israel.
אני תמיד אוהבת לארח כאן בכנסת אורחים שמגיעים עם הלב מלא אהבה לעם היהודי ולארץ ישראל.
I'm always happy to receive here in the Knesset people that come with hearts full of love towards the Jewish people and the state of Israel.
Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast באוסטרליה, שאלו אותי מה הכי אהבת באוסטרליה, שאלו אותי מה הכי אהבתי ב...
When I was in Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast in Australia, they asked me, what did I like most in Australia?
אמרתי שהכי הכי התרשמתי מהאנשים.
I said that was really...
My impression of a very, very strong from the people with no confidence, no no plates, no nature. My impression very strong from the people from Fiji.
Yeah.
I feel a lot of Australian.
Not even Australians, but Fijians impressed me most.
שנציג של השגרירות הנוצרית מפיג'י,
when the representative of the Christian embassy of Fiji
כיסה את עצמו בטלית,
put on himself the Jewish prayer shawl,
והתפלל שמע ישראל בעברית,
and started to pray in Hebrew, hear, O Israel.
אני פשוט התחלתי לבכות.
I started to weep.
איפה ישראל, איפה פיג'י, ואנחנו נפגשים באוסטרליה, ואני שומעת תפילה שאני מתעוררת איתה כל בוקר.
We are so far away, Israel and Fiji, and we meet in Australia, and I hear a prayer in Hebrew that with which I start every morning of my life. And his prayer, it came straight from his heart.
מהמטוס ישר לכנסת, בלי לחזור הביתה.
When I came back straight from the airplane, right into the Knesset, I had no time to go home.
אני אמרתי, הם אוהבים אותנו יותר מאשר אנחנו את עצמנו.
I said, these people love us more than we love ourselves.
אז אני תמיד אוהבת שבאים אלינו עם אהבה וברכות, והברכות האלה מתגשמות.
So thankful and happy every time that people come with loving hearts like yourself, and these blessings are coming upon you as well.
כל התפילות מתגשמות.
All the prayers are getting answers.
אני יודעת גם בחיים האישיים שלי.
I know from my personal life that this is so.
אני לא אשת דת, אני לא דתייה.
I'm not a religious woman.
אני מייצגת כאן בכנסת את הציבור שנמצא באמצע.
I represent in the Knesset the people that are also from the political center.
באמצע של המפה הפוליטית ומפה חברתית.
It's the center of the Israeli society and the political spectrum.
אני נולדתי בברית המועצות.
I was born in the Soviet Union.
עליתי לכאן לישראל בגיל 17.
I made Aliyah when I was 17 years old. I came to Israel.
הסיבה העיקרית שרציתי לבוא לישראל,
the reason, the most important reason why I wanted to come to Israel,
שהרגשתי את עצמי זרה במקום שנולדתי בו,
was that I felt myself a stranger in the land where I was born.
אני לא ידעתי שום דבר על דת יהודית.
I didn't know anything about the Jewish faith.
אני חשבתי שאברהם ושרה זה שמות מאנקדוטות על יהודים.
I thought that Abraham and Sarah, these are the just the funny stories, you know, from the Jewish history.
והייתי בטוחה שלהיות יהודי ולהיקרא יהודי זה לסבול מאנטישמיות.
But I knew that being Jewish and standing up for Israel meant that you would receive persecution.
ב-1992, כבר אחרי נפילת מסך ברזל.
And after the Iron Curtain fell in 1992.
התחילו להגיע לכל מיני ערים ומושבים ברוסיה, נציגים של מדינת ישראל, של הסוכנות היהודית.
The representatives of Israel, the Jewish agency people, started coming to all kind of cities in Russia.
וחיפשו והתחילו להציע ליהודי ברית המועצות לעשות עלייה לישראל.
And they encouraged the Jewish people in the former Soviet Union to make Aliyah, to return to Israel.
לא היה אינטרנט.
There was no internet.
לא ראינו בטלוויזיה תוכניות על ישראל.
We didn't see any movies about Israel or programs about Israel on television.
בחיים לא הייתי בחול.
I hadn't been abroad ever.
אז לא ידעתי לאן אני, אם אני נוסעת, לאן אני נוסעת ומה יהיה.
I didn't know where am I going, even thinking of making Aliyah.
אבל הרגשתי ניצוץ שאני חייבת לנסוע לישראל.
But I felt this spark in my heart, I have to go to Israel.
וכשהגעתי לכאן במסגרת אחת התוכניות של עליית הנוער, זאת אומרת, לסוכנות היהודית יש תוכניות שאפשרו לבני נוער קטינים מתחת לגיל 18 לעלות לפי תוכנית מסוימת לישראל.
And so I arrived to Israel as part of the Jewish Agency Youth Projects.
וכשהגעתי לכאן, כתבתי מכתב להורים שלי.
And when I arrived to Israel, I wrote to my parents.
לא היה אינטרנט, לא טלפון. כתבתי מכתב ושלחתי בדואר.
You remember these days, no internet, you just write it on the paper, put it in the envelope and send it by mail.
אנחנו עד עכשיו שומרים את המכתבים האלה.
We still keep these letters.
כתבתי, יש לי הרגשה שעד עכשיו בחיים שלי כאילו עמדתי בכניסה של הבית.
I have a feeling that to this moment I was standing at the entrance, at the door entrance of my life all this time.
ועכשיו כאילו נכנסתי לתוך הבית לחדר מגורים.
And now finally,
זאת הייתה הרגשה שקיבלתי אזרחות. אזרחות של מדינת ישראל, מדינת היהודים.
That was my feeling, my first impression when I had received Israeli citizenship.
ולא ידעתי כלום, לא על דת, לא על היסטוריה, שום דבר.
I didn't know anything about the faith, the history, nothing.
אבל יש משהו ברוח.
There's something in the spirit.
יש משהו רוחני שמביא את כולנו לכאן.
There's something spiritual that draws us all back to this place.
לא כל היהודים חייבים לבוא לישראל.
No, not all the Jews will come to Israel.
וישראל היא לא רק מדינה, זאת ארץ, האדמה מאוד מאוד מיוחדת.
Israel is a very special country.
יש פה רוח מיוחדת.
There is a very special spirit.
אנרגיה מיוחדת.
Yeah, a special energy, I could say.
מי שאוהב אותה,
If you love this presence,
מצליח כאן.
Or you will succeed here.
מי שמקטר ורק מבקר ורואה שלילי, הוא ימשיך לראות רק שלילי.
If you complain, don't like it, criticize, keep in your misery.
אז זה גם משתלב עם מה שאנחנו מכירים מהתנך. מי שאתה תברך, אני אברך. מי שיברך אותך, אני מברך. מי שמקרז אותך,
And we know this also from the Bible, from Genesis, where God told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you.
זה לא רק אברהם, זה גם הארץ שהוא אלוהים נתן לו, וגם לילדים שלו, צאצאים שלו.
It doesn't end with blessing Abraham. It speaks of his seed. It speaks of the future generations. It's the same blessing and curse.
פה גם מצאתי כל התשובות לשאלות הפילוסופיות שהיו לי בגיל הצעיר.
And here I also found answers to all my philosophical questions that I had from my youth.
שאלוהים הוא חי.
I know that God is alive.
ואפשר לפנות אליו והוא עונה.
I know that if you ask him, he'll answer.
וחוויתי הרבה ניסים בחיי.
I have seen so many miracles in my life.
אז זה במפגש הבא, אולי בג'רוסלם פרייר ברקפסט.
So maybe I will share it at the next Jerusalem prayer breakfast, what has happened.
אני אשמח מאוד להיות אתכם בקשר ולפגוש אתכם שוב בירושלים, בישראל. יש לי פרופילים ברשתות חברתיות, אפשר לכתוב לי, ואני יכולה להשאיר כרטיס ביקור עם המייל שלי. אני אשמח לשמור על הקשר. אם יש לכם שאלות ותרצו, אז אני תמיד פתוחה, ותודה רבה לכם על התמיכה. על האהבה שאתם מביאים ושאירים מברן אתכם.
So let's keep in touch. I have my business cards, there's my email, and I'm on all the social networks, so we will be able to be in touch. So whenever you're coming back, or you're coming to Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast, well, then we can meet again.
אז אפשר למצוא אותי, טטיאנה מזרסקי.
You can find me, טטיאנה מזרסקי.
Then God bless you very, very much.
But if you have questions.
אם יש שאלות.
A question. I know that many people desire to see the temple rebuilt. And what is the status of that? What has to be done for that to take place?
בניית בית המקדש, מה צריך בשביל זה? בשביל זה יקרה?
אין תשובה.
This is a question to Joel, I think he will know.
That's very sensitive.
ובאופן רשמי, זה המקום שנמצא עכשיו לא בידיים של יהודים.
This is a place that is not in the actual hands of the Jewish people.
שדן כוחות של אסלאם שהיו כאן לפנינו.
The powers of Islam are still holding it, and these powers have been
here before we...
היינו כאן לפני 2,000 שנה.
Before that, we were here 2,000 years ago, we were.
הגיעו עוד עמים ועוד זרמים דתיים שונים ותרבויות שונות.
Different occupiers that came, different religions that came.
לפני שקמה מדינת ישראל, ירושלים הייתה בידי אימפריה עות'מאנית.
And Ottoman Turkey held, of course, this territory before the state.
Muslimim.
Yeah, and then Muslims were holding these holy places.
הייתה החלטה של אומות העולם על חלוקה של השטח בין יהודים ומוסלמים, ערבים.
There was a UN decision and then partitioning between the Jews and the Arabs.
יש פה גם הרבה נוצרים שערבים אבל מאמינים בדת נצרות.
There are also many Christian Arabs here in the land that believe according to Christianity.
אבל לעלות להר הבית ולהתפלל מותר נכון להיום רק למוסלמים.
But to go to the Temple Mount and to pray there, this is something that is allowed only for Muslims.
אנחנו מאמינים שהמצב אמור להשתנות.
We believe that times will change.
אבל מתי ואיך רק הוא יודע.
When? He knows.
There's Scootman.
Tatia, I would... Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm playing.
Mysterious investors on there for sure. You know, such a time as this. And do you still have family in Russia?
ההורים שלי הגיעו 5 שנים אחריי.
5 years after I made Aliyah, my parents came.
אבל יש לי בני דודים ודודה עדיין ברוסיה. אחריי הגיעו, עשו עלייה 36 קרובי משפחה.
After me, 36 of my relatives came to Israel.
הייתי ראשונה.
I was the first one.
And ב-93.
I was in 1993.
אבל עדיין יש קרובי משפחה ברוסיה.
But yes, we still have some relatives in Russia.
Tatiana, I want to ask you a little bit. We talked about this with Matan a few moments ago. There's been a growth of attacks against Christians here by some extreme religious Jews. It's made the attention of King Abdullah of Jordan has spoken out about it. Now President Herzog just met with Christian leaders to, you know, work together to stand against these. Why do you think this is happening? We have this perception that Israel is grateful for Christian support, and yes, there's theological differences, but why do you think this is these attacks are happening, particularly here in
Jerusalem?
what can we do to make things better?
לגבי הרדיפויות והתקפות נגד הנוצרים עוד לאחרונה שהיו פה
ומתן גם כן.
הרדיפות והדרה לא רק של נוצרים, גם של נשים.
Well, we have to admit that this persecution that you mentioned has it's not only against the Christians, it's we've seen also bad attacks against women.
היום בשעה 12
8:12
ראש המפלגה שלי,
my party leader,
ראש הממשלה לשעבר וראש האופוזיציה היום,
former prime minister and today's opposition,
יאיר לפיד, כינס היום ישיבה מיוחדת, כנס מיוחד.
He gathered a special meeting today.
כדי להציף את הבעיה שאנחנו רואים עכשיו במקומות שונים בתקופה האחרונה בישראל.
To basically expose the problems that we are facing in Israel in different places today.
שבועיים האחרונים.
Last 2 weeks even.
ילדה, נערה, בת 14, רצתה לעלות לאוטובוס.
A young 14-year-old girl wanted to...
הייתה לבושה בשורט ג'ינס וחולצה.
Come to the, auto, the bus, the public bus. She was in shorts and...
הופיעה. טוב, טוב.
Yeah, top and the shorts.
חם אצלנו במדינה. חם אצלנו.
If you have noticed, it's very hot.
38 מעלות היה לפני שבוע.
Yeah, it was like 38 Celsius, that would be how much for him.
Anyway.
Well, הנהג לא נתן לה לעלות לאוטובוס.
The bus driver refused her entry to the bus.
שהלבוש שלך לא צנוע.
Because you have no modest clothes.
זה יכול לפגוע ברגשות של נוסעים אחרים.
This can offend other travelers.
דוגמה שנייה, 3 בנות.
3 girls.
שגרות פה בעיר אשדוד.
That live in Ashdod.
קבעו פגישה בים כנרת, באגם כנרת.
They wanted to go to Galilee to have a meeting there with their friends at the Kinneret.
לקחו תרמילים שלהם, התלבשו כדי לנוח בחוף כנרת.
They were clothed in, you know, clothing that is fitting for the vacation with their backpacks.
ענו על האוטובוס והנהג נותן להם סמיכות, דקות.
And they come to the bus and the driver gives them, what you call them, blankets.
והוא אומר, ידעתי שזה יקרה, תחסו את עצמם ותלכו למושב האחורי באוטובוס.
He says, look, I knew this is going to happen. You go into the back of the bus and cover yourself with these blankets.
תגידו, אנחנו בימי הביניים.
What is it? Is it medieval times we live in?
המקרה האחרון שהיום דיבר, סיפר יאיר לפיד.
The last example that Yair Lapid said is...
אישה בת 88. 88?
88-year-old woman.
שהיא שרדה בהולוקוסט.
She's this Holocaust survivor.
היא פונה לנהג האוטובוס.
Asks the bus driver.
שאלה מתי צריכה לרדת כדי להגיע למרפאה.
When is she's supposed to get off the bus to go to a clinic?
הוא אפילו לא מסתכל לכיוון שלה.
And the bus driver is even not responding.
היא פונה עוד פעם אליו.
Not even looking at her.
Ignore. Ignore שלם.
And the bus driver just ignores her.
אז בעלה שליווה אותה שאל, למה אתה לא עונה לה? אתה יכול להגיד מתי צריך לרדת למרפאה?
Her husband is saying, why are you not answering? Can't you say when we have to get off the bus to go to the clinic?
הנהג אומר, אני לא מדבר עם נשים.
The bus driver says, I don't speak with women.
זה מזעזע.
That's shocking.
וזה לא פנים של יהודים, וזה לא פנים של ישראל.
This is not what should be the values of the Jewish state.
זה פנים של דת.
This is religion.
דת עיוורת.
A blind religion.
וזה לא קשור לאמונה באלוהים.
This has nothing to do with faith.
קשור לכוחות שעכשיו משתלטים במדינה.
It is about these kind of powers that are trying to take over our country.
זה מתבטא בחוקים שרוצים להעביר.
And this is expressed in the laws that people are trying to pass.
אפשר לראות ברחובות פרסומת שפנים של אישה מחוקים בספרי צבעוני, שחור או לבן.
Maybe you saw on the streets the posters where the women were, you know, on the posters, but you've seen that the faces have been scratched off or painted with some paint.
הכנס שהיה היום פה בכנסת, זאת הייתה זעקה של הציבור החילוני, המודרני, ליברלי.
And so this meeting today that we had in the Knesset was the heart cry of the liberal society of Israel.
לא נגד אלוהים ולא נגד יהדות, נגד הדת עיוורת שרוצה להשתלט במדינה.
No, not against God, not against faith in God, but against blind religion that tries to take over this country.
אז אני מאוד מאוד מאמינה שהציבור, אתם רואים בחדשות שיש הפגנות.
And you've seen also, of course, the demonstrations in the news.
זה לא אישית מול נתניהו.
This is not something that is happening personally against Netanyahu.
זה לא אישית מול איזה חבר כנסת כזה או אחר.
It's not against this or other Knesset member that people are
against. יש פה רוחות שמשתלטים במדינה.
There are some forces that try to take over this country.
ואני אישית לא בטוחה שזה טוב.
And I'm personally not quite sure that this is a good thing.
זה לא טוב, לא לישראל ולא לסביבה.
This is not good for Israel and it is not good for our neighbors.
אני זוכרת איראן בשנות ה-80, 70.
I remember Iran in the end of 70s, early 80s.
ואני רואה מה שקורה עכשיו באיראן.
And look what is happening in Iran today.
אני לא עליתי לישראל שדת שולטת בה.
I didn't make aliyah to a country where the religion was leading and holding the country.
אני ועוד אלפי יהודים.
Me and other thousands of other Jews.
הגיעו למדינה מתקדמת.
We came to a modern country.
מודרנית, advanced.
And advanced.
ואנחנו רוצים לשמור על המדינה שלנו שהיא חופשייה.
And we want to keep our country free.
אז אם אתם מתפללים, תכניסו את זה גם לתפילות שלכם.
When you pray for Israel, keep this in mind as well.
ותודה רבה לכם.
And thank you so much.
Well, thank you for listening to this fascinating episode about Israel and her relationship with the evangelical world. If you found this podcast really valuable, please get in touch with us. Let us know who you are. Do you want to talk about something else on this show? Do you have a question you want Joel to answer? Please send any comments you may have to podcast@joshuafund.net. Your feedback is incredibly valuable as we develop this podcast. And as always, you can check out our show notes for anything you heard on the podcast you'd like more information on. For Joel Rosenberg and the Joshua Fund Ministry team, I'm Carl Muller. Thanks again for listening to Inside the Epicenter with Joel Rosenberg.
Have you ever attempted to read the entire Bible? Did you do it, or did you only make it part way? I'm John Stonge, and I host a podcast that will make it possible for you to make it through the entire Bible one chapter at a time. I've been hosting the Chapter a Day audio Bible podcast since 2015, and every single day of the week, I read one chapter of Scripture, then follow that up with a time of prayer. And if you're looking for daily insights and inspiration directly from God's Word, I hope you'll give the Chapter a Day audio Bible a listen. You can find it at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.